Welcome to our fifth podcast on internal communication practice governance. And today, we'll be exploring why it would be in everybody's interests if the world were to have a single, agreed, demonstrably valid definition of internal communication. Now, this was not a discussion we ever thought would be necessary because, well, to us, the idea of such a definition has always seemed so obvious that it was tricky for us to understand how anyone could think otherwise. But from the recent poll we ran on LinkedIn, it appears not everybody agrees. A significant majority, it seems, do agree with us, but there are still plenty of IC specialists who are yet to be convinced either that it's even possible to come up with a definition everybody can agree on, or, more troubling perhaps, that such a definition is even necessary. And it turns out that, ironically, some people don't agree about the need for a common definition of internal communication precisely because no such definition exists yet. So in their minds, when they think about the term internal communication, they're actually thinking of something quite different from other folk. According to numerous comments, it turns out that when some IC specialists think of internal communication, they limit their thinking only to the job of their department. So they rail against the idea of having a common definition because, well, inevitably, each IC department in each organisation will likely have a subtly different remit from its counterparts in other organisations. So of course, a one-size-fits-all definition wouldn't be appropriate for that. But that was never what we had in mind when we put the poll together. We were talking not about the roles of different IC departments. What we meant was internal communication as the ubiquitous business activity that everybody does in every organization at different times throughout their working day or their working week. So it seems that our planned podcast to work through such a definition will need to be deferred for another week, while we clear up this issue of why arriving at a definition everybody can agree with is not only possible, but necessary. Now, the issue of whether it's possible is a discussion which comes in two parts. Firstly, there's the question of whether it's possible in principle to arrive at a commonly agreed definition. And if it is, then we'll need to look at whether it can be done in practice. As for the first part of the puzzle, we've kind of already covered it in the fourth podcast in this series. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it. And the unequivocal answer is yes, it can be done, because in that discussion, we looked at replacing the vague and flaky concept of best practice with the robust principle of practice, which is DFVP, demonstrably fit for valid purposes. Now, with internal communication, we say purposes, plural, because any IC activity will have two purposes for which it needs to be fit. There is the purpose of internal communication itself, and then there is also the purpose of the thing being communicated about. And the good news is you can apply this concept of DFVP to virtually anything, including a definition of internal communication. So, if it could be possible to come up with a definition for IC which is demonstrably fit for valid purposes, then it must be possible for everybody to agree with that definition, because anything else must, by default, fall into one of three other categories. Either those alternative definitions will be demonstrably unfit for valid purposes, or demonstrably fit only for invalid purposes, or demonstrably unfit for invalid purposes. So in our next podcast, we'll explore a definition which may possibly have what it takes to be DFVP. But how will you be able to tell if that definition you hear next week is demonstrably fit for a valid purpose if we don't first explicitly state and validate the purpose for which that definition needs to be fit? And if this is all starting to sound a little bit chicken and eggy, well, you're not a million miles off. So let's see if we can tidy this up. What would be the purpose of having a demonstrably valid definition of internal communication on which everybody can agree? Why bother? Is this not just an exercise in futile navel-gazing? How is such a definition going to make your life better? Because surely that's the point. That's the whole point, because some people's responses to our poll suggested they didn't think we needed such a definition. So why do we? Well, perhaps the easiest way to understand this is to flip the discussion on its head and look at the consequences of not having such a definition. And there's some fairly weighty evidence we can call on here. Early in 2021, a poll conducted by Interact Harris showed that 91% of employees felt their managers weren't good enough at communicating with them. 91%! That looks bad, doesn't it? But is it? Really? Let's just think this through. What are some of the likely consequences of having such a huge proportion of line managers being poor at communicating with their own people, and thus probably with each other too? Well, there's likely to be a certain amount of demotivation among their teams, is there not? And probably some potential impact on at least some employees' emotional well-being. Then there are likely to be a certain number of mistakes and misunderstandings arising as a result of that poor communication, which will also be emotionally upsetting, not to mention harmful to some people's reputations, not least the managers themselves, and costly in terms of the time they'll take to put right. That demotivation could also lead to higher staff churn, with consequently higher recruitment and training costs. Oh, and those mistakes and demotivated staff may lead to increases in customer dissatisfaction. Fewer sales, resales or recommendations, more compensation payouts, possibly even lawsuits, higher insurance premiums, lower brand value, and a hit to the share price. So when we say it's bad that the overwhelming majority, 91% of line managers, aren't communicating well, we're barely doing the situation justice. But as we discussed in the first and third podcast in this series, it's hardly the line manager's fault if their communicating isn't up to scratch. How can it be if no one can tell them for sure what scratch even looks like? How can a line manager have justifiable confidence in one person's version of scratch or best practice if someone else defines it differently, and each of those folk who are trying to tell them what it is of course equally convinced that their version is the right version? Surely the only way of reliably reining in the insanity of this situation, which we have all inherited from our forebears, is if everybody can finally agree that internal communication practices, whoever is doing them, whether that's line managers or IC specialists, those practices need to be demonstrably fit for valid purposes. But this consensus can only happen if we are all agreed on the purpose of internal communication, a purpose which is itself demonstrably valid. And that presents us with a challenge. Because how can anybody be confident in the purpose of any given thing if no one has yet defined the thing which has that purpose? How would that even be doable? Let's just pause for a moment and think about it. Let's imagine we were trying to come up with a purpose for the very concept of work. And let's also imagine that one person has a definition for work in their mind, which is a series of chores that need to be done. That's not an unreasonable definition, is it? But someone else might define work as an opportunity for contribution and self-expression. Now, with such different definitions, what are the chances those two individuals will consider work to have the same purpose? It's pretty unlikely, is it not? Now, of course, looking at it objectively, we could surely make a case for saying that, up to a point at least, both of their definitions are valid. In which case, surely they are also both incomplete. But if neither individual has said their definition out loud, even to themselves, let alone to each other or anyone else, they may spend a lifetime working off an incomplete definition and therefore be working towards an incomplete or at least skewed, purpose. Only by saying it out loud and allowing each other to fill in our blind spots can we hope to arrive at a definition and a purpose for internal communication which we can justifiably consider to be demonstrably valid. So there is a logical train of thought here which leads us irresistibly to the need for an agreed definition of internal communication. And it goes like this. If organizations are going to best serve all their stakeholder groups, both internal and external, one thing they will need is for their line managers to be communicating with their teams and each other in a way which is demonstrably fit for valid purposes. This will only be possible if internal communication itself has a demonstrably valid purpose for which the line managers can know their communications are fit. And nobody can know that the purpose of internal communication is demonstrably valid without first defining what internal communication is. So to sum up, the purpose of having a demonstrably valid definition of internal communication is so that everybody, whether IC specialists or line managers, can be justifiably confident that they are communicating in a way which is demonstrably fit for valid purposes and not doing so in ways which are demonstrably unfit. This is why we all need, finally, to agree on a demonstrably valid definition of internal communication, not the role of individual IC departments in different organizations, but the ubiquitous business activity which everybody does in every organization at different points throughout their working days or working weeks. And it is that definition we'll be looking at in our next podcast. As ever, if you don't want to wait till next week or you're keen to explore more about this subject, you can tap into the dozens of free resources available at comgame.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and if you've any observations you want to make about this podcast, you can join us in the IC Practice Governance Group on LinkedIn. Until next time, take care.